Well, this hour, we'll take your phone calls with Major Ed Dames, and we still want to talk with him about that UFO report, and then we'll get to your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. George Norrie with you. Major Ed Dames with us. Major, you have some information about that report that was issued in June, but you say that there were some omissions.
There were a lot of omissions to that government official UFO report. It was just kind of mundane in June. Nothing was there that people really didn't know already.
Right.
Well, what they left out was far more interesting. Let me give you one example.
And okay.
This first, I'll give you two examples. The first one is personal. I was personally involved in seeing the report. In my former life, I had to spend a lot of time at the Puzzle Palace, NSA headquarters, because they had things that I needed to do my job. So I was in and out of there all the time. So I sat down with one person at once. I think I was working a nuclear terrorism a project or a counter-narcotics project, and this guy who was in charge of all of the intercept, the electronic and the signals intelligence and communication intelligence for that area of the world, I needed his info to help me out. I sat down with him, and it turns out that people like he and I and many others in the intelligence community, we had hobbies. We knew there were a lot of UFO things out there, but during that time, which is the early to mid 80s, that the U.S. government has no life. We had, and DOD particularly, and all of DOD, even CIA, there was no license or charter to spend U.S. tax dollars money on UFO research. Now, we tried as a small group, Hal Puthoff will confirm this, we tried as a small group to trick General Abramson, the Star Wars guy, into giving us some money to look at it, but he caught us red-handed. All you guys want is this UFO stuff. So anyway, that kind of thing. But anyway, one of the reports that this guy pulls out of his hobby file was this report of an Elint bird, an electronic intercept bird. And in those days, 50 years ago, when we would fly these the Air Force would fly these KC-135s around with a bunch of guys in the back with monitoring equipment. And this particular one was electronic intelligence. They were flying near the Russian border to see which radars turn on, so they could see where the radars were and possibly ascertain the radar holes. So if there's a war, a fighter or a bomber can get in through the radar holes. A lot of times the Russians wouldn't turn the radar on, of course, because they knew what we were doing. But they turn it on in case there was an attack. Anyway, there's a first lieutenant in the back of these guys with all of this equipment monitoring radars, Russian radars. And this big old UFO pulls up starboard of the KC-135. The pilots go ballistic. They're trying to transmit this back to the Air Force headquarters. This first lieutenant back there loses it, panics, pulls his service 45 out, and shoots through the darn window at the UFO.
Oh, Jesus.
So that's the kind of thing that you don't see in those reports. My favorite one, though, is Sergeant Raymond Moody, and this is back in the 70s. At Socorro, he was in a Jeep. Everybody can read up on this, but I'll tell you stuff they don't know. Sergeant Raymond Moody was patrolling Socorro Air Base, where we kept a lot of our nuclear warheads, the actual warheads themselves that are fitted onto the bus and ICBM. And here comes this big glowing thing down, shines a beam into the into the storage bunker where the nukes are held. It sends Sergeant Raymond into a catatonic state, and then it's over. So in the next morning, Sergeant is waking up and trying to come back to consciousness. He reports on this event. Well, the Socorro base physical security officer was a colonel, full-blown colonel, because these are important things, so you don't have just to have a major or a captain in charge. And he wonders about the physical security of the bunkers. And a team goes down there and checks, and the locks are intact. The physical security of the bunker has not been violated. But then they go inside, and engineers find out that all of the codes that direct these these warheads, which are MIRV. They're in a U.S. MIRV. When the bus opens up in outer space, you know, it slings one MIRV to Moscow, another one to Sverdlovsk, blah, 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 right? That requires code. And at that time, 50 years ago, it took an engineer about 2 weeks to program the codes into a single warhead so the warhead knew where to go. All the codes on all the weapons were zeroized with no physical penetration of the bunker. So that's the kind of stuff, you know, that...
That's great stuff, too.
Yeah, but what is our government going to do about it? As I've said many years on your show, why doesn't the government tell us? Because no government ever can say, we don't know.
Right, or admit
we're not in control.
We can't stop it.
Right, and so now, in terms of my Starman mission, no matter how much money you have, no matter how powerful you are, if these guys want to shut down or do a mini day the Earth stood still, they're going to do it. And now we're going to stand up and take notice and say, okay, what else is out there? Who are you? And who do you know in this neck of the woods?
Let's go to the phones. Let's start with Joe in the Bronx. Welcome. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
George, how are you, George?
All right, Joe. Thank you.
Good. Major Dames, are you predicting a global drought because you're saying how urgent it is to live in an area where water is available? That's one. I think there was a movie with Dennis Hopper called Waterworld, where there were wars being fought over water. But isn't there ample rainfall and snowfall so that we may never be starved for water?
No, there is, but it's in terms of how the climate change is redirecting all of those things. So you're going to get a lot of, and I could go into this a great length, a lot of rain will start falling in areas where it never fell before. A lot of it will, I won't say be wasted, but in terms of global thermodynamics and thermodynamics climate change, you're going to have a lot of rain that no longer falls in some spots, and now it's falling in the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean. There's a glacier the glaciers are melting. There's a glacier Peru, where a village, a town, is their entire water supply is the runoff from that glacier, and it's gone. So what I'm saying is that the patterns are changing, that the seasons are becoming chaotic, and the weather and the patterns of rain and snowfall are becoming chaotic. So that the places that traditionally, habitually have been prone to ample supplies of rain and water, will change. And, you know, I mean it about Las Vegas and Southern California. It's going to cause, you're going to have to migrate. There won't be any water. You're going to have to migrate. Farmers, as you know, are pulling up their almond trees now. They're ripping them out of the ground because there's not going to be enough water to sustain them.
Lake Mead is shriveling up.
Lake Mead is shriveling to the point where it's going to have to be, the pumps are going to have to be shut down, just like they were in Oroville, California last week. And in other places, it's just the way things change. And now they're changing more rapidly, like I told Art Bell years ago. There's one thing I want to, before we take more calls, may I mention one thing, George?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. I haven't taught a workshop. I've actually been kind of semi-retired. I haven't taught a workshop in a long time, because people have to deal with the COVID thing, and people want me to teach one now. But still, there's a lot of folks who live. It's very expensive to travel and hotel reservations. So I put together an upcoming 5 weeks on the 18th of September a global Zoom event. But it's not just a regular seminar. It's not just, and it is in the workshop. It's a global Zoom event where I can do a virtual data dump on all of my trade secrets and everything I know about remote viewing, because I'm leaving the field to go, the RV field, to go out and work with Project Starman, and particularly and exclusively. So I want to dump everything that I know that I haven't dumped, and that is particularly my trade secrets, into this workshop, a global workshop. So folks who have wanted me to come to Australia and the UK and Japan for years, and I haven't been able to do it. Now they can join this Zoom workshop from 3 to 8 p.m. on the 18th of September, and I will go all the way to midnight if they need me to answer questions in this workshop. Lex Lonehood, your webmaster, is coming. He's an attendee. And I invite you to stick your head in there and see how professional remote viewing, not dilettantism and hobbyism, but how professionals like the Matrix Intelligence Agency use remote viewing and have used it for Fortune 500 companies. And I'm not talking about Madam X stuff. I'm talking about improving their product lines, trade secrets, complex problem sets that we've been presented with industry and science, all the support contracts we've done for space exploration, business and military intelligence support, how to set that stuff up. A solution for those of you who are familiar with associative remote viewing, I think you had two guests on your show a few days ago that do that.
Sure.
And how they're taking a black box approach to it, but which is the wrong thing to do, and it's producing their so-called displacement problem, all the incorrect information. We knew how to solve that problem years ago, but it was a trade secret. I'm dumping that on them. I'm going to tell them to do it. And personal trajectories, including health and investments, event recreation and lost history, how to do that professionally. Michael Crichton, the late Michael Crichton, and I had the same book agent. And he and I, before he died, wanted to collaborate on a book to fill in the blanks using technical remote viewing of lost history. And that would have been a fun project. And lastly, I'm teaching, I've never taught this before, I'm showing the public at that Zoom event, how remote viewing is taught to children. An actual science experiment that I did with one of my sons, and what the judges thought about that, and how they were absolutely shocked about what fifth grade students can do. I'm going to walk everybody through those and show them the actual results of the science project. And
through your website, they can sign up through this?
Roger, yeah. MajorDamesNews.com. Again, it's on the 18th of September. Master Tips, all the aforementioned, will be all day long and into the night. I'll be making sure that people understand how to use technical remote viewing professionally, not as a hobbyist, but as a professional.
Good point. Let's take some more calls.
Early bird sign-ups end on the 14th, which is right around the corner, so people can save a lot of money if they sign up before the 14th.
Mike in Denver. Go ahead, Michael.
Good morning, George. Thank you for taking my call. How are you?
You're welcome. Okay.
Great. And Major Dames, it's such an honor to speak with you. Thank you so much for your powerful presentation this evening. And I just had a quick comment and question. So, Ed, I think we all have different perceptions of events, whether it's how we think something should be in the world, whether it be politically or, regarding warfare. People usually have some kind of inherent bias about the way things are perceived. And the question I wanted to ask you surrounding this, Mr. Dames, is, when you sit down to do the remote viewing, how important is it to you to quiet your mind about personal perceptions surrounding the said event to be able to kind of perform the remote viewing as objectively as possible?
It's critical. It's absolutely critical. I have a big ego, as all your listeners know, but man, that ego better be out the door when I put my pen on that paper. We cannot have any preconceived notions about the target if we're front-loaded. A good example would be a girl in Oregon a number of years ago, who was found dead on the side of the road, and the cops told me, Ed, she was murdered. We don't go into a problem set armed with anything, in that case, any other than the knowledge that she's dead.
Right.
We remote view the actual event itself. How did she die? We did the same with JFK and other events. So in that case there, we don't call the murder. We want to look at her death. And in this case, long story short, she was with her friends in the car, a high school kid, her friends in the car, and she OD'd. And her friends panicked and threw her out the car door. And that's not a murder. So that's a typical of the kind of things that and sometimes we get an answer that we are not happy with, especially if it's a personal development problem or something like that, where we're looking at one of our own transcendental psychological problems, for instance, and we get something that we really don't want to see, so we have to fix it.
Super. Caroline's with us, east of the Rockies in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Caroline.
Good morning, George and Major Dames.
Morning.
Morning.
Been a big fan since the Art Bell days, guys.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. My question is about people who perceive themselves to be targeted individuals or even these contactees that you had kind of mentioned earlier. Is there a chance that a portion of some of these folks are actually part of some military operation unbeknownst to them? And if so, Major Dames, what could they do? Can a person kind of remote view inside to perhaps prevent themselves from being an operative unknown to themselves?
Yeah, we get this question all the time. People are, you know, they're very paranoid about this kind of thing. No, the last time that the Department of Defense was involved in something like this, there are smaller instances, but mind control was MK Ultra. After that, no, nothing. And folks, I mean, if I had not been in the places that I have been, the inner sanctum sanctorum of Langley and other places that I can't even mention, and I had the experiences I had, I wouldn't know what to believe either. I would be just like you and anybody else on the streets, but that's not the case. I was a trusted, fair-haired boy, just like Oliver North, and we could do anything we wanted to and go anywhere because we were company men. You know, we were destined to become, you know, their bagmen.
How did you get solicited for the Army remote viewing program?
Oh, no, I was up at celestial levels at the Office of Secretary of Defense, George. That's why I know so much. And when I thought, well, I had all these tools at my disposal, agents on the ground, satellites, things that I came and talk about to collect intelligence. And then in the early 80s, this project was formed by the Army. That you can look at the background online. And this thing could answer questions that all of my other stuff couldn't answer. I couldn't answer the mail about the newest generation of biological weapons on the part of the Russians or the Hungarians or blah, blah, blah. But this unit could. It could penetrate all these and give us a heads up so that I could cross-cue all of my other systems about where to look. And, you know, you need at least three sources of information and intel in order to go in order for me to orchestrate a mission. And this one, that so I stepped down when I had the opportunity to take over at DIA, Defense Intelligence, mm-hmm. as Operations and Training Officer, because, oh, man, I was rubbing my hands together like a kid in a candy store, started looking at everything.
Is your website, MajorDamesNews.com, relatively new?
Yeah, it is. We're shifting everything. My producer and I are shifting. I have a fantastic producer. Because I have no time for this stuff, and shifting everything over to MajorDamesNews.com. So there's a lot of YouTube videos that I've been doing over the last year and a half, and you can see where I've told people a year ago that this COVID, for instance, is coming back with a vengeance. Folks, don't become complacent. The shelves are going to be empty again, and it's going to be worse. So you can see all that in the YouTube videos.
Will they go away, do you think?
Say again, George?
Will it go away, COVID?
Oh, COVID will go away, yeah. But by the time it does, we'll all be ball and chained.
No, let's hope not. But
no, it is. We can see it, George. We can see what's happening. But we can also see what's going to put the kibosh on that and turn the tables on all the masters. And that will be the kill. So when think about yourself as you're competing. Maybe you're a Saudi sheikh and you have a bigger yacht than you're a Russian oligarch and you're competing with another oligarch, right? Okay, so you're out in the Mediterranean with all of your stuff and you got a security team of 40 men on board your vessel, right? And all of a sudden, they can't access their bank accounts, okay? Like the Pink Floyd song, "Even Our Masters Don't Know the Web We Weave." Well, when they can't access their money and can't get paid, guess what? All of your stuff is theirs.
And we get problems. We're coming back with Final Calls with the Major next on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be back with Final Calls with Major Ed Dames in just a moment here on Coast to Coast. On our next Coast to Coast program, couple of special guests. Billy Carson, who was one of our special guests in The Secret Door, is going to be one of our show guests, and he'll be talking about the secret space program. And then Karen Dahlman joins us to talk more about the Ouija board. Oh boy, here we go on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, our final segment with Major Ed Dames, the foremost remote viewer. And Ed, I got to tell you, I've had emails from your students over the years. They have had a great time with your courses, and they really think they've learned a lot.
Oh, I've got the best students out there, and they have learned a lot. My professional team is, I think they can surpass me. I mean, I'm comfortable. My one of my key agendas, besides my ultimate agenda of contact, was to get this out there to people to realize they can learn this. It's their natural birthright. We just turn it into a skill. For people who are going to come and sign up for the September 18th Master Zoom Tips event, if they're not remote viewers, they can get a lot more out of the Zoom event. They still have time to order the LearnRV DVDs, and they can study up through the basic levels. The DVDs go up through the advanced levels, and they can understand more about what we as professionals will be talking about and presenting there. And they might want to order the Prepping for the Kill Shot DVD. I would highly recommend that because of the booklet inside they should carry around in their back pocket. It will tell them exactly what to do when the infrastructure goes down.
What would you recommend to people just to use remote viewing in their day-to-day lives?
Oh, if they're skilled up through some things can require, a very few things can require just a basic knowledge of technical remote viewing. Most require about an intermediate level of stage. And one of the best ones would be deals with optimum personal investments. What would be their optimum personal investment? If you drop the personal from investment, then you get other things like that are more global in nature, but that's a very good one. Another one would be personal vulnerabilities and threats, looking ahead to allow your unconscious, your superconscious, as your best friend. Its key job is to keep you alive, probably to try to achieve some degree of destiny rather than meet a fate. But to try to look at a vulnerability and threat assessments, well, yeah, you can do it yourself or for corporations or even for countries, that kind of thing, and personal development. And those things don't require a high degree like professional level. Techniques and methods, like for instance the contract we did for Lawrence Rockefeller, atmospheric ozone depletion, projected consequences, and remedial technologies.
To the phones we go. Cornelius is with us in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hello there, Mr. White. Welcome to the show.
Hey, George and Major Ed Dames. Happy and blessed birthday to you, Major Dames.
Well,
I was a military police officer from 79 to 94. I trained at the Military Police School in Anniston, Alabama, Fort McClellan, and the Kim School. So I really salute your service and everything, and thank you for what you're doing for us.
Oh, thanks. I know the Kim School well, my friend.
Yeah, that's where I trained. I believe this is a biological bomb, this virus, and you're right. It's mutating where it killed the old folks first. It killed my dad, a Korean War vet, in December 2020. But it didn't affect me. But now it's affecting younger people. So you're right. It's changes. It's mutating, and it came from communist China. But anyway, my question for you, and I want to salute you, George, for having him on, because this is the only place.
He's been one of our faves for years.
Yeah, but this is the only place we're getting the truth. All the other news is nothing but lies.
Oh, you got that right. When they shut down the internet, AM radio. I laughed at AM radio 25 years ago when somebody asked me to do this show. I said, you got to be kidding. AM radio? Well, here we are. It's going to be the only game in town in about 2 years.
There you go. Anyway, I heard you on Art Bell Somewhere in Time, and you were talking about you saw the son of Satan either being born in 1990 to 99, so he would be either 20 to 30 years old. So do you believe the Antichrist is here? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you, Ed Dames.
Oh, my pleasure.
Remember that, Ed.
I don't, and I don't think I would say something like that, exactly like that, because we wouldn't be able to actually do it. But in terms of the Antichrist, oh, yeah, the Antichrist is a millennial idea. I don't mean millennial kids. I mean a millennial idea. And the idea that zeitgeist, this idea passes from person to person so that it's maintained from generation to generation to generation. Yes, we looked at the present. It's not an incarnation. It isn't a special. It's an idea that has to be maintained. This idea of the Antichrist, and then it converts itself. It transforms its ideas, and all these things that we're seeing now: complete control, battlefield fighting wars and killing a bunch of people for money and profit and power and nothing else, resources. That's how it translates itself into the world. And of course, as your last guest would say, and I love this finished remarks, we're killing the planet. We're committing ecocide, and the powers that be, and you'll be glad to know this, that agency out there that's stationed in that seamount, they live here too. They're interdimensional entities. This is their planet as well, and they will never allow. They're going to keep thumbing their nose at us when they appear over nuclear launch sites in areas like North Dakota or whatever and shut those things down. We know as remote viewers that they will never allow a nuclear slugfest. Nagasaki, Hiroshima, yes. So we understand the consequences of our action, but they are not going to allow us to destroy this planet. They know where every single warhead is, whether it's on a boomer, in the hands of a terrorist, or whatever.
That's good. Let's go to Joe in Los Angeles, first-time caller. Joseph, thanks for holding.
Hello. How are you doing, Major? And Georgia,
hi,
I'm
Joe.
A good friend of Clifford Stone. You know Clifford Stone?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I've known him for about over 23 years. We worked together a lot on UFOs, and he taught me about remote viewing, and I used it to, you know, communicate with our visitors. One time I was experimenting with my son. He gave me latitude and longitude, and right away I picked up the image, and I read a lot on Project Centerlane. Also, remote viewing you could use as praying, so you can actually be at the foot of the cross where Jesus was, or you could use it for engineering. I use it for designing aircraft, you know, different components, the different composites and stuff I can't go into. But remote viewing works for anybody. And I'm very happy, Major, that you're talking about it, that it's not woo-woo. It's real science, and it works. And I'm thank God that Clifford taught me that before he passed.
Well, your government spent $20 million on us. So they didn't think it was woo-woo.
They should have continued it.
Well, but you have to go back and look at history and why it was shut down. Because, you know, it's viewed by if you see my, if you read my Legion of Merit and my Meritorious Service Medals, and you see the people signed it, General Soyster, for instance, he hated the idea of being connected with the occult, and he wanted it out the door. Now, here's the things that we did with it were incredible. That's why he gave me those medals, those awards, that one individual at least. And the Secretary of the Army, but at the same time, they what else do I have in their hip pocket organizations that are connected with anything like this? They just were not comfortable with having this, and so we went out the door.
Next up, Blair, Sedona, Arizona. Welcome, Blair.
Hey, thank you, George. A brief comment before my question to the Major.
Sure.
When you brought up the desalinization projects, well, remember, two allies of our country are the Saudi Arabians and the Israelis, and they're already doing it.
So yes, they are, and they're doing it well, too.
You betcha. Well, Major Dame, speaking of climate change and global warming causes, would you consider performing a remote viewing exercise to check out some channeled information I've become aware of that says the Earth is actually moving physically closer to the sun now, as its orbit is continuing to tighten more and more around our system's star?
No, I wouldn't. I'm just too busy. That's true.
Well, I mean, you could do it sometime. You could have...
No, I couldn't. My hours are filled.
How about one of your students?
One of my students who are listening, the students who are listening now, they'd be glad to do it, but I can't.
I wonder if the Earth really is moving closer to the sun.
I don't know.
Maybe by inches. I know the moon is moving away, right? By inches.
Know.
It is. Next up, James in Missouri. Hello, James. Take it away.
Yes, sir. I live near Potosi, and I was wondering if Major Ed Dames knew of a Roscoe Henry Hill encoder. He was my uncle. He taught me how to tie a fishing knot. He was a rear admiral.
No.
And,
Hickenlooper?
Hill encoder. He did MK Ultra and Majestic 12.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did not know him. First time I've heard his name, but go ahead, James.
Well, I was just wondering, what exactly, if you could find out, did he know anything about the Kennedy assassination? Because I when I was a kid, he taught me how to tie a fishing knot, so they talked about stuff that they didn't think I would remember.
Did he tell you anything special about the JFK?
Well, the JFK, they mumbled about, and then later at a card party, it was in 68, I think he said, well, you think Bobby would have learned?
Interesting.
When Bobby.
No,
Go ahead, Ed.
Just because he knew, he didn't orchestrate anything, but he knew about it, that kind of thing, too. Now, JFK, we published our remote viewing work on JFK long ago. It was our former cross-dressing director, Herbert Hoover of the FBI, along with Lyndon Baines Johnson, you know, were the gave the order to take him out because of, and you can go back in history and see why, what he was prepared to do in terms of the Fed and in terms of talking about Israel's nuclear weapons program, those kind of, he was a great threat to the so-called deep state. But anyway, he was taken out. The thing that really did him in was a flechette. He took that round that from a long gun that devastated him. But what the coup de grace was delivered from a pneumatic device that was in the center of the car that fired a flechette through his Adam's apple and went out the back of his neck. So we have all that down in terms of our session work.
Laura's with us in Cincinnati. Hello, Laura. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi there.
Happy birthday, by the way.
There you go, Major.
I was going to ask you, I'm terrified of the virus and the vaccine.
Yeah, I feel sorry for you because I see so many people that are terrified.
And then it's like turning people, arguing my friend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, either side you're on, there's always arguments.
Yeah, I feel so sorry when I see people on the streets. I can tell how scared they are.
What do you do?
Well, do what I did. I had it, and I almost died. I mean, I'll tell you, I really was.
When did you come down with it, Ed?
I came back from Eastern Europe, from Ukraine, and I got it immediately, and then it turned into bacterial pneumonia.
Jeez.
And I was in bad shape. But as I told you before, I should have taken it as a prophylaxis, but I waited too long until I got upper respiratory disease. But oil of oregano, used the way that I told you and your listeners before, it actually kills the virus and bacteria.
I've been taking that ever since you said that.
Yeah. You take it as a prophylaxis, which I should have done, but I waited till I got it, so then I had to use it as a treatment. But that and other things that people like Benjamin Fuchs know about, one of your guests.
He's on next week.
It works as a treatment, for goodness sake. Even the Israelis realize they made a big uh-oh mistake and have now developed what looks like a really adequate treatment that can get you out of the hospital in 5 days. But as Fuchs, Benjamin Fuchs and I agree, keeping a healthy immune system to begin with is the first step.
Absolutely.
Because our natural immunity, I mean, for goodness sake, that's what it's there for.
Ed, take about 30 seconds. Mention your September Zoom event.
Yeah, it's a Master Tips event. It's a one-of-a-kind where I'm going to release our corporate trade secrets in case something happens to me and show you what it's like to be a professional remote viewer, how to set our complex problems up. September 18th, early bird signups end in the 14th few days, and it goes from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific, and after that I will stay as long as you want me to address your questions.
Super. Ed, stay healthy, my friend, okay? Until next time?
It's been a pleasure. I'm going to go outside now and catch God's fireworks display on my birthday.
The Perseids, the meteor shower. Thank you. Major Ed Dames, great guy. His website, majordamesnews.com. Linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasore, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punted, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.